Welcome to the teaching portion of our worship at Watkinsville First Baptist. My name is Carlos Sibley and I pastor here. We have four critical values in the life of our church. That is, we value the Word of God, we value relationships, we value all generations, and we value living on mission. What you're hearing today is very much in line with that first critical value, the Word of God. For more than 20 years, I've said, let's open our Bibles together. So I invite you to grab your Bible, let's open it, and I hope you will enjoy hearing from the Word of God today. But let me say this, don't let this be your only encounter with life at Watkinsville. I hope you'll receive this as an invitation to come and join in person sometime in the future. And when you're here, be sure and introduce yourself face-to-face with me. I'd love to know who's listening online, who's following the teaching there online. I look forward to meeting you. I look forward to sharing the Word with you today. I want to invite you today to open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1. So if you would go and just find for a moment Genesis chapter 1. Just put your finger there, and then as soon as you find Genesis chapter 1, I want to invite you to find Revelation chapter 22. And I know what you're thinking. You're thinking he's been gone so long, he forgot where we are. I want you to get past in the beginning of your copy of God's Word, all the names and table of contents and introduction and family genealogies. And I want you to, in the back, to get past all the weights and measures and concordance and maps and notes that you've taken, and just hold that word for a moment. Genesis 1 to Revelation 22. 66 books of the Bible. I'm told, I didn't count them, but I'm told that there are 31,174 verses. Now, with God's Word, I want you to find the very middle verse. So just give it a shot. Just look down at it and open it up and see how close you can come to the begin, to the very middle. It's possible that you are in our text for today. Let's work to get to Psalm 118. And if you landed on Psalm 118, verse 8 and 9, we need to talk. You got a good eye. But of all of those 31,000 plus verses, statisticians tell us that the very middle two verses of God's Word are Psalm 118, verse 8 and 9. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. In some ways, we have the heart of the message of all of God's Word right there. Better than people and better than power is trust in God. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man, than to trust in people. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes or to trust in power. And today in Psalm 118, we have the opportunity to witness
and hear a testimony of one who has found that to be true in their life. In a poetic sense, we find in Psalm 118 that God is guilty of being good. We have a good God. And in Psalm 118, we see that our everyday response as we trust in God is to give Him thanks. To give Him thanks. Just a couple of weeks ago, when we were away on vacation, we attended a church that was close to where we were staying. And when I walked into the lobby, I noticed they had advertisements for Christmas in July. Probably it's something you've had going on in your life. You may be even participating in something in some arena right now. You've seen the phrase Christmas in July. Psalm 118 today gives us an opportunity to have Thanksgiving in July. It is a psalm that begins with Thanksgiving, and it is a psalm that ends with Thanksgiving. So let's look together in this Psalm 118, and I want us to get the full feel of this song, this last song of summer, this last Psalms of summer of 2025, Psalm 118, verse 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. Now, let's practice just a little bit, okay? I think somewhere along the way this morning, there's an opportunity for you to say amen. I think somewhere along the way, there's an opportunity for you to say, that's right. So let me read that verse again, and you just pick a phrase and let me know you're alive, all right? Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His steadfast love endures forever. Amen. 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 I know you got it in you. I know you got it in you. Let Israel say, His steadfast love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, His steadfast love endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord say, His steadfast love endures forever. Out of my distress, I called on the Lord, and the Lord answered me and set me free. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is on my side as my helper. I shall look in triumph on those who hate me. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. All nations surrounded me. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. They surrounded me on every side. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. They surrounded me like bees. They went out like a fire among thorns. In the name of the Lord, I cut them off. I was pushed hard so that I was falling, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Glad songs of salvation are in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord exalts. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. The Lord has disciplined me severely, but He has not given me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank You that You have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray, give us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless You from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and He has made His light to shine upon us. Bind the festal sacrifice with cords up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to You. You are my God, I will extol You. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. A note here in this copy of God's Word that I've used for a few years, that at the end of Psalm 118, out beside verse 29, there's a note there. Oftentimes when the Lord really hammers my heart with a verse, speaks to my soul, speaks to my circumstances, it's just one of those days a verse comes to life. Three times there's I'll put a date there. I'll put a date. And three times right beside verse 29, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. 7, 27, 23. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. There's blue ink now. 7, 25, 24. Black ink again. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. 7, 23, 25. The reality is that every year, according to this very verse, we can put a date there. From now until eternity, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. This psalm begins with thanksgiving, it ends with thanksgiving. In many ways, Psalm 118 has the feel of a testimony. You know what a testimony is? We used to have Sunday night services in church life, and we became SMOs. You know what a SMO is? Sunday morning only. And we all became SMOs. We used to have Sunday night services, and you could do things in Sunday night services that you don't find yourself doing as much in Sunday morning services. And one of the things you used to do in Sunday night services is that you would risk letting go of the mic and giving it to somebody. And they would give testimony. And sometimes that could work out well, and sometimes it could not work out well. But this has the feel that someone has given the psalmist the mic. And the writer of this song, is giving testimony. He's bearing witness to what God has done. In fact, in verse 17, it actually says, I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. The songwriter is saying, I'm telling you what God has done. I'm telling you that God's been at work. I'm recounting his deeds. And this song of summer here is a testimony that God is at work. I want to divide Psalm 118 up into three segments of a testimony. Number one, the writer of this psalm, number one, starts with a testimony of who God is. Did you start your day recognizing who God is? Sometimes we can get into our day without getting our mindset on who God is. Lee, I heard you say it Friday night, speaking to the youth. Lee, I didn't ask you for permission, but you said it out loud. I want to say it out loud, give you credit. He said, I say in the mornings, Lord, please get into my head before I get into my head. That'll preach. And the psalmist gets God into his head before he gets into his head. And he starts with a testimony of who God is. This psalm is all about the Lord. Did you pick that up? Were you following along? Did you come in and out and hear me saying over and over again, Lord, 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 Lord? 29 verses. 25 of those 29 verses has the word Lord or God in it. In fact, 24 have the word Lord in it. Another verse has the word God in it. It is 29 verses. It is a testimony, not so much about this person. It is a testimony about the work of God in the life of this person. He starts with a testimony of who God is. And he says, oh, give thanks, right at the beginning. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. A couple of points of application about that start. Before you consider any circumstance of a new day, we have a starting point. You have a starting point, and it is a starting point of gratitude. It is a starting point of thanksgiving. You've quoted the verse before. His mercies are new, what? Every day, every morning, every morning, every day. When you wake up, you are met with the mercy of God. You start your day at a place where God is there, God is at work, and God is being who he is. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. If you're looking for a way to start your Monday, right there it is. It doesn't get any more profound than that. Start tomorrow morning with God, you are good. God, your love endures forever. I thank you for being who you are. Start right there. Second point of application is that there are no circumstances you can wake to. There are no circumstances that you can wake to that dissolves the goodness of God. Now think about that. We can be overwhelmed. We can be in distress. We can be in difficulty. But there is no circumstance that you wake to tomorrow morning that means that God is no longer good. That means that God is no longer faithful. That means that you have found the end of his love. Over the course of the last 7 days, news has come to me from different arenas. Some news in different arenas that are this hard to get off your mind. News, different categories. It can be, you get news like this. You've probably gotten news that I don't know about this week. It can be health news, relationship news, financial news, world news. Some news that Carla and I received this week. I asked her late in the day yesterday, I said, does it just keep coming back to your mind over and over again? She said, yeah. And we get news like that. We get news that travels with us, and our circumstances can look difficult. We can bear burdens that others are walking through. And this psalm meets us right where we are and shows us that we start every day before those circumstances take root with this truth. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. He's good. His steadfast love endures forever. Now, let's look at our day. Now, let's look at our circumstances. You know that for 20-something years here as a pastor, and I'm sure I probably missed a few, but from my memory, again and again and again and again, meetings, a big part of my life. My kids, you probably ask my kids, what'd your dad do as a pastor? Went to meetings. And it's just, go to meetings. And walking into those meetings alone, the common prayer, the repeated prayer, the over and over again prayer is this: Lord, I know who you are, and you know who you are. And whatever happens in this meeting, let it come through who you are. That's what the psalmist is saying. The psalmist is saying, whatever comes in this day, whatever's ahead in this day, let it just come through this filter that God is good and that his love endures forever. He starts with a testimony of who God is. Number two, he lives with a testimony of what God has done. He lives with a testimony of what God has done. When you look down to verse 5, he begins to do what Psalms does. Do you know why we love Psalms so much? Maybe you have a list of reasons. One of the reasons I love Psalms so much is that it is, you have 150 songs that takes every thought, feeling, emotion, dilemma, victory, celebration, heartache that you can experience in life, and it puts it into words. And when you read these Psalms, we're drawn to them because we'll find ourselves saying, I didn't know exactly how to say it. I didn't know exactly how to pray it. I didn't know exactly how to live it. But the writer of this Psalm just did it. And now I can grab a hold of it, and I can say, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. I can say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I can say the Lord has become my strength and song. He is my salvation. We find our life put into words here, and that's what the psalmist does. He says, out of my distress. He's honest. He's not sugarcoating. He's not covering up. He's not putting a veneer over life. He says, out of my distress, I called on the Lord. You read on through this psalm and you see him describe his life. Out of my distress, I called on the Lord. Verse 6, he says, he speaks of fear. Verse 7, he speaks of needing a helper. Verse 7, he speaks of those who hate him. Is it your testimony today that you're in time of distress? That's what you find here. You find that the psalmist was living in days of distress. Distress is that feeling you get where you're like, I don't know if I'm going to make it. I got 48 hours of work, and I got 4 hours to do it. I don't know how to deal with this news. I don't know how to deal with this situation. I don't know how to handle this pressure. I don't know what to do with that relationship. It feels like they hate me now. He goes on, he says, verse 10, he says, all nations have surrounded me. It kind of has the feel of a king speaking. He says, all nations have surrounded me. He describes in verse 12 that this surrounding of the enemy feels like a swarm of bees. They sound like the crackling of thorns burning quickly in a fire. He says, verse 13, I was pushed hard. I was falling. He describes his distress. He lives with a testimony of what God has done, even in days of distress. He also speaks of days of discipline. Verse 18, the Lord has disciplined me severely, but he has not given me over to death. He's got a testimony. He's got a story. He's got a life that he's living. He's started with thanksgiving of who God is, but he's acknowledging that life is real and life can hurt and there can be distress in life. But he also acknowledges in our relationship with the Lord there can be discipline. The Old Testament word here for discipline is a word that literally means instruction with teeth. Instruction with teeth. Like it's instruction that can sting. It's instruction that can bite. It's instruction that has teeth in it. It can get a hold of you. In the New Testament, this very idea is brought into Hebrews 12, where it speaks about the discipline of the Lord and how he disciplines those whom he loves. It's a Greek word, gymnazo, in Hebrews. And it speaks of that workout. It speaks of that involvement where you put stress on your muscles and it causes pain. And he says, spiritually, I have been in this situation where God has put stress in my life. He's come to me and he's shown me things. Yes, I've been disciplined by the Lord. But his testimony doesn't stop there. His distress and his discipline, the echo in each of these verses is that God delivers him. That's the testimony of God's goodness. Go back and look at it. Fill it in. Out of my distress, I called on the Lord. the Lord answered me and set me free. Amen. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? Amen. The Lord is on my side as a helper. I'll look in triumph on those who hate me. And all along where he says, the nations have surrounded me, but I cut them off. That means that he's driven them back. They couldn't advance anymore. They couldn't overtake him. I was pushed hard. I was falling, verse 13, but the Lord helped me. The Lord's my strength, my song. He's become my salvation. What's he doing? He's taking the realness of life, and he's living with a testimony where he's saying, yes, it's some tough stuff. But he's raising up praise to the Lord and saying, Lord, look what you did in time, how you have delivered me. So he starts with a testimony of who God is. And he lives with a testimony of what God has done. And then number three, he ends with a testimony of who God will always be. Amen. And you can start out with somebody and they're a friend and you thought you knew them. I remember someone saying, it's probably said multiple times, but somebody's said along the way, I had a lot of heroes in my life until I met them. I had a lot of heroes in my life until I met them. What were they saying? Who I thought they were turned out not to be who they really were. And the writer of Psalms is saying, who I thought God was at the beginning is exactly who God is in the end. Can I get a witness? Amen. He is good. And he starts this psalm in the beginning. He says, God, you are good. And then he says, here's my life. And I get to the end, and what am I saying? You're still good. He ends with a testimony of who God will always be. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures, say it with me, forever. Let me ask you three questions to wrap up. Number one, what is your testimony of God's work in your life today? What is your testimony of God's work in your life today? I don't know what your long-term memory's like, what your short-term memory's like. That changes for me from time to time. I forget things, remember things. Forget things, remember things. What is your testimony of God's work in your life? One of the great lessons of God's word is that one of the things that God held against his people was that they would forget his good work in their life. And I'd ask you to just pause for just a moment and just think. What's your testimony of God's work in your life? Are you in distress today? Is there trouble today? Feeling overwhelmed today? Maybe there's some teenagers in the room and you feel like a lot of people hate you today. Maybe you feel like some enemies surround you. Maybe you think people have misunderstood you. Are you going through a time of discipline? It's good to be disciplined by God because it's an indicator that he loves you, but just because it's good doesn't make it feel good. What is your testimony of God's work in your life? Now, your testimony today, you say, Pastor, you read these verses, and this writer of this song said he was in distress. But God answered him. God hasn't answered me. You say, I do feel surrounded, but I haven't cut them off. I do find myself in need of help, but I don't know where that help comes from. It's been a long time carrying this, Carlos. One of the limitations of reading Psalm 118 in one day is that we do get the beginning, we get the middle, and we get the end. In 29 verses, a life works out. We know that's not exactly the way life works, isn't it? It's like watching an episode on television, crime show. You watch a crime show, and a crime show, there's a crime, there's an investigation, there's an arrest, there's an arraignment, there's a trial, there's a verdict, and the show's over. Whew. Got that one worked out tonight. I was with a friend back earlier this year who works in the district attorney's office, and asked him, I said, how real is what I see on television compared to what you deal with? And he said something that surprised me. He said, you would be amazed at how amazingly realistic it actually is, except for one thing. I said, what? He said, I'm summarizing what he said. What you see happen in 40 minutes takes us 4 years. What we can read in 29 verses may take longer than it takes to read 29 verses. It may take longer than a 60-minute worship service. What you're going through right now may be 4 days, 4 weeks, 4 years, 40 years. But God is good, and His love endures forever. Martin Luther, the reformer, born in the late 1400s, lived most of his life in the 1500s. It was Martin Luther who was the instigator, the catalyst for the Protestant Reformation. He certainly was surrounded by enemies. He certainly knew what it was like to be sworn by those who would oppose him, as he proclaimed that our salvation, just like God's word says, that we are justified by faith alone, not by works. You know what Martin Luther says about Psalm 118? Listen to this. It's beautiful. Martin Luther says about Psalm 118, this is my own beloved psalm. Although the entire Psalter and all of Holy Scripture are dear to me as my only comfort and source of life, I fell in love with this psalm especially. Therefore, I call it my own. When emperors and kings, the wise and the learned, and even saints could not aid me, this psalm proved a friend and helped me out of my great troubles. Would to God that all the world would claim this psalm for its own as I do. What is your testimony? Cling to these words as true. Number two, here's the second question. What is your response to His work? What is your response to His work? The response to His work is just like what Martin Luther says, cling to His word and give Him thanks. Let the word help you. Let the word sustain you. Let the Lord become your strength and your song. He is your salvation. Number three, what is the echo you keep hearing in Psalm 118? That's the third question. What is the echo that you keep hearing in Psalm 118? As we read through this psalm, did you find yourself in any of this at any time feeling like, I've heard these verses before? I've heard these verses before. Where are these verses? Verses like, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. Verses like, save us, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray, give us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. You know where you hear these verses? You hear them in the New Testament. In fact, every single gospel, all four gospels, records some portion of verse 25 and verse 26. We miss a little bit in the reading here, that verse 25. 5 that says, "Save us, we pray, O Lord." The Hebrew word there for "save us" is it's transliterated. If you take the Hebrew letters and make it sound like an English word, it is the English word Hosanna. When you sing those songs, Hosanna, Hosanna, when you read in the New Testament and Jesus is coming in on the triumphant entry into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday and the crowds are shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," they're saying to Jesus as he rides into the city, "Save us, save us, save us." This very song, this very psalm is the last of what we've called the Hallel Psalms. It is the sixth song that is sung in the Passover festival. And imagine that night when Jesus took the Passover with his disciples, and it says they sang a hymn and went out. It's very, very likely that Psalm 118 would have been the words they would have sung as he went out of that room, and the song that they would have sung would be fulfilled in Jesus Christ himself. That's the echo. So today, when we look at Psalm 118, what is tomorrow's work? Tomorrow's work is what today's work is, and next day's work, and the next day's work. It's not work of salvation. It's our work in response to salvation. And what is that? Give him thanks. Give him thanks. Start your day with giving him thanks for who he is. Live your day giving him thanks for who he is. End your day by giving him thanks for who he is. It's amazing. When we live with gratitude, how it calibrates our life in the midst of those things that cause us to almost fall, almost stumble, almost be knocked down.
Thank you for being a part of our worship today at Watkinsville. If the message today creates any questions in your heart, you'd like to talk more about it, you could do that by sending an email at info@watkinsville.org. If you just have questions about the church, you could find a lot of information about what's going on here in the life of this place at watkinsville.org. If you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, I hope today's message encourages you in your walk with the Lord. If you've never trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you could do that right now. Just admit to God that you're a sinner, that you need a Savior. Call out to Jesus to forgive you of your sins and turn and trust him with your whole heart today. And you can begin a personal relationship with Christ today. I look forward to meeting you face to face sometime soon.